Solomon tells the Israelites to keep his teaching and commands in their hearts. Why? Because they are God's commands. And how does an Israelite show that he is obeying God's commands? He shows his obedience to God by being loving and faithful. He has love and faithfulness tied around his neck and written in his heart. That is what obedience to God's command produces, love and faithfulness. Obeying God's commands pleases God. Why? Because God is loving and faithful. The God who is all-powerful and all-knowing, the God who created everything, this is the same God who is loving and faithful. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of person I want to put my trust in. Someone who is all-powerful, someone who is all-loving, someone who is always faithful. If you live for him, God promises us that we will find favour with him. Solomon also says that if we're obedient to God, then we'll find favour with people. So I just want to stop here for a second. And some of you might find this a bit uncomfortable, but I'd like you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to discuss this question. Is it wrong to want people to like you? So just for 30 seconds, talk to the person next to you about that question. Okay, if you'd like to draw your profound conversations to a close. I don't know what you thought. Some of you thought yes, some of you thought no. Well, personally, I don't think it is wrong for us to want people to like us. I think that's perfectly healthy because God made us for relationships, didn't he? He made us that we like each other, that we love each other. But I think the problem is when that's our priority, when it's our priority for other people to like us. Because people do let us down, don't they? People aren't perfect. And God is perfect. And so our aim should be to love God perfectly, to make sure that we're doing what's right in God's eyes. But then Solomon says that if we live for God, but actually people will find favour with us. I think we have to hold that in tension with what Jesus says, though, don't we, as well? Because Jesus says that people will hate us for our message. But I think universally, actually, people notice that there's something different about Christian, don't they? But if we're living with love and faithfulness, people notice that there's something different. There's a really famous phrase, isn't there, that at all times preach the gospel, if necessary use words. And it's a bit controversial, but I think the fact that actually sometimes people can ask us about our faith even before we've started speaking, because they notice that there's something different. And that's the way Solomon tells us to live, to be loving and faithful, and people will notice. And it will please God. So Solomon's first reason to trust God is that we will find favour with him. We will find favour with the loving and faithful God. His second reason to trust God is that he will guide us. Let me read you verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I don't know about you, but I find these verses really encouraging. If we trust in the Lord, he will make our paths straight. We live in a world where our futures can be very uncertain. James was saying before, didn't he, that actually we don't know what the future holds, and that can be really terrifying. I know it is for me. And things can just happen which knock us off course from what we're aiming for or striving towards. We live in a world where it often feels like we don't know where we're going. Many of us find ourselves asking, who do I want to be or what am I meant to be doing? And yet God says, if you trust in me, I will make your path straight. If you trust in me, I will be guiding you. Solomon's dad says in Psalm 23, that the Lord is our shepherd, and he guides us along the right paths for his name's sake. Why does God lead us? For his name's sake. God gets glory when he leads us along the right paths, the final destination of which is heaven, the kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that make God worth trusting in? But Solomon says here that we are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. This is the bit I like less. And lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways submit to him. I find that really difficult. I want to sort out my future. I want to be kind of in control of my life a little bit. I don't want God to be completely in control. Where's he going to send me? But we are to trust that in all things, God is working for our good. and that he knows what's best for us. We are to give him all our hopes and dreams, all our secret desires, all our disappointments, and just trust him with them. He is in control. He knows everything you want, everything you need, and he promises that he will guide you. So many times in my life, I think I've wanted that, or I've wanted that. I've been certain that I want that. And actually, I've seen in the future that that was not a good thing to want, and that was not a good thing to happen. And God's just helped me with those things. God knows what we're like. God knows what we really need, and we don't. So that's a really good reason to trust him, isn't it? Let's look at Solomon's third reason for trusting in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Solomon here is telling us to avoid evil and arrogance at all costs. Why? Because arrogance and all things evil are harmful to us. They cause us pain, and they cause those around us pain. But trusting in God and his goodness protects us from harm, and we remain on the right path that leads to eternal life. Let's flick back again to those wise words from Solomon's dad in Psalm 23. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." All of us will go through dark times in our lives. Some of us more than others. Some of us maybe right now might be going through a really difficult time. But David tells us here that if we trust in the Lord, those dark times will only be shadows. And no matter what happens, God will be protecting you and guiding you along the right path that leads to glory. Nothing can take away your salvation. If you trust in the Lord, then the Lord will make sure you get to glory. Trust in him. This is your fourth reason to trust in the Lord. Third reason, even. The next reason is the fourth reason. Let's read verses 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. His fourth reason is that he will provide for us. This time, well, about 18 months ago, I was deciding, well, I was planning to do a PGCE, what would have been this year. And my parents were very happy about that because it meant that I would be going into a good job straight away with a decent wage and kind of everything a parent hopes for, nothing too stupid. And then at the last minute, I said, actually, there's this course which is called Relay, and it's a gap year where you have to kind of raise money to do it, and you don't get a wage or anything, and you don't really advance in your career at all or anything like that. I said, "Oh, Mum and Dad, I'd really like to do that." And they said, "Oh." Like all good parents, they said, "Oh." And we were a little bit concerned. It was all going so well, I was going to go straight into teaching. And then suddenly I said, "Well, I'll do a gap year." Always a cause of concern, isn't it? And that made me really question it as well, and thought, oh, what if I'm not meant to do this? Maybe it'd just be better just to go straight into a job. At least I'm earning money, then kind of I can raise a family at some point if that's what God wants. But I really found myself having to trust God. And over the summer, where I was really thinking, what if I'm just not good enough to do this either? God really just said, just trust me. Trust me. And here I am. And even though things are scary sometimes, even though things in the world don't make sense, God promises that he will provide for us. God promises that he will give us enough. Solomon tells us here that if we trust in the Lord enough to give generously, then he will bless us with more than enough. He says that our barns will be filled to overflowing, and our vats will brim over with new wine. He says that if we trust in the Lord and give generously, then he will give generously to us. That requires a lot of trust, doesn't it? Because the way to make sure that you've got enough is surely just to be stingy, to give hardly anything away, and then you know you've got enough. But that's the point, isn't it? When we do give generously, our hearts are saying that I trust the Lord is able to provide for me. Obviously, at the same time, God calls us to live wisely, and to live wisely isn't necessarily to say, well, I'll give everything I have and just trust that God can provide. Obviously, that might be the right thing to do sometimes, like very occasionally, but I think it's fair enough to say that most of the time that isn't what God wants us to do. But he does call us to be generous. He gives us Christian friends, doesn't he, and Christian kind of elders and deacons to help us to be wise in how much to give. And we can go and speak to them. It's good to speak to them about how much we should be giving. But I guess like this passage really challenges me. Maybe it challenges you. Sometimes are we being a bit stingy with how much we're giving? Are we trusting that God will provide enough for us? Maybe you're giving too much at the moment for you to cope and you're not being wise in that way. But I think we must all examine our hearts to see how much we're trusting in God in our giving. So Solomon's fourth reason for trusting in the Lord is that he will always provide us with whatever we need. And finally, Solomon's fifth reason in this proverb for trusting in the Lord is that he will delight in you. Let me read verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. I think Solomon is reminding us here that trusting in the Lord is not an insurance policy. It is so much better than that. Trusting in the Lord means relationship with the all-knowing, all-powerful, loving and faithful Yahweh. Those who trust in the Lord will be delighted in, as a father delights in his child. Trusting in the Lord means having a father who will never let you down, who will prepare you for every trial you face, and be there to share joy with you in the joyful times, and to comfort you and guide you through the dark and testing times. He will discipline us, but only ever out of love for us and for our good. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, but in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. All things. That means that no matter what we go through in life, we can be sure that the Lord is doing good in our lives if we're trusting in him. It means that no matter what we face, we know that it is worth it to keep going. But it is worth it to keep trusting in the Lord and to be obedient to him. It means that every good thing that he gives us, we should praise him for. And it means that ultimately, we should also praise him for the things that he denies us or doesn't give us. I remember when I was in youth group at church, I was praying and praying and praying for a girlfriend. I said, I really want a girlfriend. I really want a Christian girlfriend. And I went to school and all my friends were going out with Christians, and I was the only really young Christian that I knew. And so I knew that God, obviously at that time, didn't want me to have a girlfriend because there wasn't any Christian girlfriends around. But I found myself thinking, oh, but what if God hasn't got anyone for me? Maybe I should just sort it out myself. And isn't that the way we do it so often with everything? We just think, well, God hasn't really sorted this out for me yet, so I'll just kind of sort it out myself, even though I know it's not quite right. No, God will provide for us. I mean, for me, what if that means that God will say that I'm single for the rest of my life, then that is enough for me, isn't it? And then if God says that I'm going to get married one day, then that is enough for me. And that's true of everyone in this church. God has got a plan for us in every area of our lives, and if we trust in him, he will provide. And we don't have to go messing about with that ourselves. Trust in the Lord, because he will give us enough. He knows what's best for us, which is something we just so often don't get. What a gospel, isn't it? How good is God that he provides for us, that he delights in us, that he guides us, that he finds favour with us. Have you seen what we're like? And God still loves us, God still cares for us, and all he says is just trust me. This is absolutely brilliant. So let me ask you those questions again. Love the next slide. What stops you trusting in the Lord completely? What desires make you want to keep some of your aspirations from God? And what truths about God are you forgetting when you hold back an aspiration from him? God is so good. He is so worth trusting in. Just trust him. He's amazing. I haven't got anything else to say. God is really, really good. God is all powerful and he's brilliant. And I could go on for another 20 minutes just saying how brilliant God is, but there's no point, is there? Because you already know. So to finish, let's just... Psalm 23 is going to come up on the screen, I hope. So let's tell the Lord that he is our shepherd and that we trust in him with our lives completely. So if we want to, if we could actually stand together and let's just say and pray this psalm together.